All right, good evening and welcome to the Allegiance Steam Academy regular meeting of the Board of Directors, July 26, 2018. The meeting is called to order at 7:15 p.m. The meeting location, 5862 C Street, Chino, California, 91710. Instructions for presentations to the board by parents and citizens. Allegiance Steam Academy Thrive Charter School, also known as ASA Thrive, is a direct-funded, independent public charter school operated by the Allegiance Steam Academy nonprofit Public Benefit Corporation and governed by Allegiance Steam Academy Incorporated Corporate Board of Directors. The purpose of a public meeting of the board is to conduct the affairs of Allegiance Steam Academy in public. We are pleased that you're in attendance and hope you will visit these meetings often. Your participation assures us of continuing community interest in our school. Agendas are available to all audience members at the meeting. Note that the order of business on this agenda may be changed without prior notice. For more information on this agenda, please contact Allegiance at info@asathrive.org. Requests to speak forms are available to all audience members who wish to speak on any agenda items or under the general category of public comments. Public comments are set aside for members of the audience to comment. However, due to public meeting laws, the board can only listen to your issue, not take action. The public is invited to address the board regarding items listed on the agenda. Comments on an agenda item will be accepted during consideration of that item or prior to consideration of the item in the case of a closed session item. Please turn in your comment cards to the board secretary prior to the item you wish to speak on. These presentations are limited to 3 minutes. In compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and upon request, Allegiance Steam Academy may furnish reasonable auxiliary aids and services to qualified individuals with disabilities. Individuals who require appropriate alternative modification of the agenda in order to participate in board meetings are invited to contact Allegiance Steam Academy. Roll call. Samantha Odo?
Here.
Raquel Rawl?
Here.
Melanie Choi?
Here.
Vanessa Okamoto?
Here.
And Andrew Vesti here. Public comments, items not on the agenda. No individual presentation shall be for more than 3 minutes. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. Are there any speaker cards?
There are none.
Approval of agenda for the regular board meeting for July 26, 2018. It is recommended the Board of Directors approve the agenda for the regular board meeting for July 26th. 2018. Do I have a motion?
I'll motion.
Motion Sam. Second?
I'll second.
Second Vanessa. Roll call vote. Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Open session. I'm going to switch it up. First up is going to be item scheduled for presentation, and we have the Girl Scout Troop 96504. Welcome, girls.
is Daisy. Nerdy Nummy has been my favorite book. She did a different style of cooking, and this is my favorite recipe.
Hello, my name is Abaya. Thank you for listening to our presentation. You heard my troop share the books they love. That's what this project is all about, giving everyone the same opportunity to love reading. We chose this project to earn our Bronze Award because literacy is the most fundamental way to gain knowledge. This free library will enhance our campus and community. It is very easy to use because when you borrow a book, you are prompted to bring it back or share another one. We hope to gift this library and start using it on World Literacy Day, September 8, 2018. When I read my favorite book, Little House in the Big Woods, I experience a whole new world. The pioneer life of Laura Ingalls Wilder is so comforting to me. I wish everyone had the same chance to find themselves lost in a book. Girl Scouts founder Juliet Gordon Lowe said, "The work of today is the history of tomorrow, and we are its makers." Together, we can make this project a part of Allegiance's history to make sure everyone can thrive. Thank you again for your support.
Thank you for giving us an opportunity to speak on behalf of our troop. I can speak from my own personal experience that growing up, we didn't have any money to have any books. My mom didn't have the ability to take us to the library. So I know there's so many kids in that position, and this can definitely help them out and give them hope that they can, you know, have something that they like and take home and enjoy. Do you guys have any questions for our girls?
How come she didn't make Galaxy Cupcakes? No, we thank you very much, and you guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, next up, comments from the Board of Directors. Sam, you're up first.
I just want to say thank you to the Girl Scout troops for coming out and giving us an awesome presentation. The Little Library from September 8th that we're looking at. I'm very excited to see that. Thank you.
Raquel. Melanie. Vanessa.
I just want to also thank the Girl Scouts. I thought that was one of our very first presentations, so bravo to you guys. You set the bar pretty high now for whoever comes after you. But I'm excited, too. I have a passion for reading, and I think it's awesome. So thank you so much for what you're doing. That was very impressive. Thank you.
And I'll just echo those same comments and also thank you. Last Friday, I believe it was, we moved a lot of stuff from a storage in Pomona to the school. Thank you to the district for bringing their big moving van and personnel for helping us. They didn't have to do it, and thank you for everybody that came out to help us out. We're slowly but surely getting school together. So, CEO's report.
Thank you. Good evening. It's gonna be tough to follow this, but I was doing my best. Echo those same thoughts. It was great to hear your polished and well-prepared presentation. And you made a strong case for literacy, which I'm going to steal some of your great thoughts and make sure I repeat those when I'm talking to people about the importance of reading. So thanks for that. Callie and I have quite a bit to share, so we'll try to move quickly to get into some of the action items for you guys. First, huge thanks to Diane and office staff. They're continuing to move through registration, and as student records are arriving, they're giving us a nice census of who our students are, where they're coming from, what, and so on. So I'll talk a little bit about the implications of that as we're learning about our students, what that's meaning in regards to staffing and our services when we get there. But first, Diana, thank you, and please sure to echo those thoughts to our team. They've taken over Diana's living room since we're not, or kitchen and living room, right? Since we're not able to work out of this office, out of our offices yet. In the area of curriculum and instruction, the team's been meeting, and some founding teachers have been meeting, and all of our curriculum has been adopted, and it's some, if you look in this class, some of it's arrived, some of it's en route. Teachers are plugging into their digital resources to get prepared, and the alignment across STEAM Lab and PE and in the generated classrooms has started. This week we also met with our SELPA. Callie can speak to that a little bit. Are you speaking to that now?
Sure.
Go for it.
Yeah. A couple of representatives from the SELPA came down, including one who will be our program specialist, so our kind of go-to when we have questions and things, and met with myself and Sebastian and a couple of our general ed teachers and one of our SPED teachers to go over what the professional development opportunities are, what our needs might be for the school year, and just kind of laying out all of the supports and services that they will provide for us. So that was really helpful, and we they'll be coming down to train some of us on different aspects of writing IEPs and the computer system and all of that that we need. And as well, there is a community advisory committee that we need to have some a parent serve on the board for as our representative for that, and they go, I think, once a quarter to a meeting there at the cell phone.
So in the areas of governance and tied to our MOU, just want to point out to the board that we also need you to get DOJ clearance. Meredith is in the final step of getting our DOJ license and number and so on. I think we've shipped everything off we've needed to do. Both Meredith and I are through the process, and now we're just waiting for the DOJ clearance to be able to get our staff and our board to do that. So once we have that, I'm going to send it to you guys to do the same as staff has been asked to do. We will be sharing some notifications to parents that we're required to do through federal and state law around Title I funding. That'll go out in the next week, and also our special education program. These are two programs we offer at Allegiant, so an effort of transparency. We want you to know, right, what they are, what they entail, and some of them that are tied to funding, where that funding is going, so you have an understanding of that. So be on the lookout for just a very lengthy few letters that are going out to the community in the coming days. In regards to facilities, as you can see, there's been plenty of work going on this building. Thanks to Chino Valley for that. It's been amazing. We've got a great relationship with the facilities folks. They gave us a walkthrough last week and showed us some of the projects that are going on, including the complete infrastructure, the IT infrastructure that's being updated, as well as air conditioning, and then just everything else to get these buildings ready for August 27th. That's 32 days away, by the way, when school starts, so brace yourself, everybody. We're there. We're almost there. Yeah. So yeah, just really grateful for the partnership that, you know, that we started with our authorizing district. It's, you know, admittedly this is new. My experience is with an authorizing district is real hands off. Kind of left us alone from my former job, and so it is kind of refreshing to see that there's more of a partnership developing with Chino Valley than just sort of two separate entities that don't talk to one another. As far as human resources, as I spoke to Diane, as Diana and team are looking at the incoming documents from our students, we're learning of our needs, right? Services and so on. We've already projected that we're going to be, let me back up. So when it comes to special education, a special education teacher cannot have a caseload larger than 28 students. At this point, we approximately have a little over half of our student records come in, and we're already surpassed the 56 mark because we have two special education teachers. So Callie is now looking at interviewing for what is going to be a third special education teacher because the need is there. So I've already worked with Charter Impact to look at the budget to see how we can do that. So that's in route. Additionally, then we projected to have about six instructional aides, including special ed aides, right? And that number will probably climb. So the good news is our surplus, we don't have to like cut anything to make that reality happen at this point, right? We need to dip into our reserve, but being that our reserve is close to a little over 9%, we have room to create these new positions. Also in food services, we need to add a position. So we'll be doing that. And that one is comparable to, you know, compensation-wise to the instructional aides. So that's another position that, you know, we'll absorb from our surplus. Other than that, all certificated positions, right, are filled. So that's great. And again, like I shared, that group is meeting. I want to kind of hand it over for a moment to Sal and Mitchell here, who will introduce themselves a little bit. But when the charter was written and it was decided to participate in STIRS and PERS, I think the founding team sent a message that we're going to take care of our employees, right? And so in that same vein, I found it important to bring these two guys to share a little bit about what they do. I had an opportunity to sit with them and talk through STIRS. And I went into the meeting saying, hey, treat me as a newbie who doesn't know what he's talking about. And I found out 2 seconds into it, I didn't know what I was talking about. So it was right for me to meet with them and just get a STIRS overview. So I'm going to hand it over to you guys for a little bit and share away.
Absolutely. So thank you for the opportunity to possibly partner with Allegiance. My name is Sal Flores Chatfield. I'm one half of Flores Chatfield and Chatfield Financial with the Horace Mann Companies. This is Mitchell. Like Sal said, my name is Mitchell Chatfield. I'm the second half of FCNC Financial with the Horace Mann Companies. A little about us. We were both born and raised in Covina Valley, both with the Covina Valley School District. We have partnered, our office is in Covina, so 15 minutes away, not too far at all. We partner with a lot of school districts and charter schools around our local community. On top of that, we have been partners with the Chino Valley School District for the last year and working on improving that relationship as well. A little about Horace Mann. We were founded by educators for educators in 1945. Since then, we have grown to the largest multi-line insurance company designated just to the educator community. So not only is Horace Mann involved with the educator community, but on top of that, you go ahead and get two well-rounded and knowledgeable representatives that sit down and bring value to your educators every time that we're meeting with them. We know the educator background, we know the STIRS, we know the PERS, we know how the 403B market works.
So like Mitchell talked about, we would look to come on to be your 403B provider. So what is a 403B? A 403B is the 401k version for the education community. Okay, so only educators and nurses have access to a 403B, and the 403B is very powerful, can be a very powerful tool for your educators to be for their retirement. Okay, it's also can be a great recruitment and retention tool for you guys as a charter school to bring them on and to show them that you have this great asset and some great representatives that are able to help them. One of the ways we're able to help them is sit them down and show them the STIRS and PERS review. Okay, how that helps you guys is it's one of your hidden budget items, right? It's something that they don't see that benefit right away, but it's a huge budget item for you guys, and they see the amount of money that you guys are putting in on their behalf in their account that they're going to see a huge benefit from the last 20 to 30 years of their life. So you have individuals coming over from other public education, coming from other charters that are private or possibly private school, then we sit them down, we show them exactly how their STIRS works, we show them what their STIRS actually means to them, and being at 50, 60, 65, what those numbers actually look like. There's a lot of urban urban legends and a lot of myths about what STIRS is, 80% of this or 65% of that. We sit them down and show them what those actual numbers are and how they can best leverage that. Then we show them how a 403B can complement that. So we would come in, we'd be your 403B provider. We would partner with you guys and basically say anybody who wanted a 403B, they would come through Horace Mann, through Mitchell and Sal. And what that is basically how they contribute to that 403B is through payroll deduction. So that's why it needs to be a partner between Allegiance and Horace Mann, is there would have to be a plan document that would be put together. We would actually pay for that plan document to be created if you guys decided to partner with us. And then we send it over to you guys. You guys approve of that. And then we create a document, a contract between Allegiance and Horace Mann to become your 403B provider. From there, all contributions are payroll deducted. So how a 403B would work is we would have a traditional 403B style, and then we'd also have a Roth 403B. So there's no income limitations to that, and your employees, your educators are going to be able to put in up to $18,000 per year towards their retirement pre-tax or post-tax. And we can show them what that amount means for them down the line and how that's going to really help them retire successfully. Okay. What we're also proposing is a mutual fund platform. So a lot of the old school 403Bs are what they call TSA or tax sheltered annuities. We're coming with a much newer version of that, much cleaner version, to where they're going to be able to go directly into the mutual fund market. We're going to be showing them exactly what mutual funds they're going to be investing into. They can track it on their phones. They know exactly where their money's going, right? They're also going to be able to be well diversified. They're going to be anything from large cap, mid cap, small cap stocks, to real estate, to international, to municipal bonds, to corporate bonds, or to just in a fixed account if they're not they don't have any risk tolerance at all. So they'll be well diversified, whether they're contributing $18,000 a year or contributing $30 a month. They can be well diversified and also have access to us as advisors, no matter how much they're contributing. The cost for the individuals is going to be 1.25% of the total amount that's going to be in their account, plus a $25 annual fee per account of anything under $25,000. That's going to be super low cost, especially for having individual advisors. That's going to be much cheaper than anything you're going to find on the street for an IRA or a Roth IRA or anything like that. And that's just because we're going to come in and do you guys as a group and take care of the group as a whole. So that's just the beginning of it, though. We become your guys' partner. We're going to partner with you guys on a lot of different things. We do attendance incentives and a lot of other stuff. But like
I said, the most important part is the retirement and showing them that part of the plan. But we have a number of tools in our utility belt that we can help your educators out with, once again, retention and recruitment. The biggest one probably being student loan forgiveness and student loan solutions. So we've helped a number of teachers get anywhere from $5,000 forgiven all the way up to $100,000 forgiven on those student loans. There's two programs out there that they can qualify for where people normally charge to do this. We do this free of cost. We just want to gain trust, get in front of the teachers, and be seen as a partner with them. On top of that, we do donorschoose.org as well. Are you guys familiar with that? You guys heard of that? So that's a big way. A lot of your teachers' biggest complaint is going to be that they have to come out of their own wallet for supplies, classroom projects, stuff like that. So this is very similar to like GoFundMe, where they post projects up online and outside donors go ahead and fund that. And it's pretty powerful stuff. And we can go ahead and show them tricks and tips about it, log them on, help them with projects, stuff like that. And then finally, we do the auto, home, and life insurance. That's all tailored to the educators and help them out as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, so the idea is to partner with you guys as Allegiance and then partner individually with your educators to become the retirement advisor, life insurance, home, and auto, and make sure, like, we just want to become the guys, right? We want to be on your campus. We want to be partnering as many ways as we possibly can, have as many Donors Choose projects up so we can personally fund as many of those as we possibly can. If you see in your packets, the last piece is a STIR seminar that we give on almost every campus in Covina Valley. We're going to put on every campus on Chino Valley. We'd love to come do that for your guys as well. So that's a little bit about us, what we're able to provide, and what we're proposing 403B-wise for you guys. We'd like to open up to our questions now. Yes?
Is there a
No, absolutely not. No, there are no minimums.
So for the 5-year investment,
when
you invested, is that 5 years here or
just anything? So that's 5 years vested, that's for
STIRs. Right, but in Allegiance, or can they carry over?
They can absolutely carry over. It's 5 years contributing to STIRs.
And then if they have a 403B and other, somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you roll that over here and they won't lose anything?
Well, it would depend. We'd analyze, and that's what we did with Sebastian. We analyzed, he had a 403B elsewhere. We're going to sit down and analyze what's going to be the best decision for that client. Sometimes it's better to leave it where it's at. Sometimes it's best to roll it over. We're going to do what's always in the best interest of the client.
They would be able to contribute to our 403B while keeping that other product as well.
So you said it's a $25 annual fee, and on top of that, there's 1.25%.
Exactly correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So if a teacher wants to call and talk to you guys in regards to any of this, service charge, does that cover all those services?
That's all in, absolutely. And that includes all of our services and all our advisors. And what we're hoping to do is set up a time to where we can sit down with every one of your individual educators, talk to them about their STIRs or their PERS and all that stuff. And then if they'd like to become a client, great. If not, they're just going to be a great referral source for us.
And then the loss of membership, if they withdraw funds, that's regardless of the amount they might take out, if they have a hardship and you kind of pull some money, then they're still out.
You're talking about STIRs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so through STIRs, yes, unfortunately not. That's what we try and educate our clients on, is that the absolute last thing you want to do, because you want to keep that relationship with STIRs because you want that guaranteed benefit once you retire.
Yeah, the benefit is you're making 5 times the amount of money that you have in there.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Sometimes their extreme circumstances will have to dip in, and I'm just trying to understand if that's all cases or if there are exceptions.
Yeah, you can. If you withdraw money, they are going to set up a payment plan for you to pay it back. The problem is that if you don't pay it back on their payment plan, they're just going to shove you your pile of money and say bye. That's not what we're doing. Any other questions? Thank you guys. Appreciate it. Our cards are in there. If not, I'll leave a pile with over there. And feel free to contact us with any questions, emails, phone calls. And we're here for you guys.
Thank you so much.
And good luck, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks so much, guys. Thank you. In other areas, we'll talk to the items, the action items, because there are some proposed expenditures that were already approved in the startup grant, but now we're starting to look at those specifically. So I'll speak to those at those points. And then my last bit, I also want to just thank the community for helping the moving in the last couple of weeks, which Andrew spoke to. And I know we probably have a few showing up tomorrow to help again. And in the coming weeks, we're going to call on you. You know, 32 days away, we'll be relying on the community to pull this off together. So thanks already for everything you've done. If you're on campus, if you've stopped by campus, you've not seen a lot of us here because we cannot do our work here for the most part. So, but we're collecting a lot of fun pictures of everyone working remotely. So we've got cats on computers and Anne's kitchen taken over. People are working hard to get your school ready. You just don't get to see it because we can't work here as much. But wait till you see the pictures. They're going to show you how hard we've been working, right? Anything else from you? We'll just speak at this. All right, that's our report. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Items scheduled for discussion and or action. First up is the contract related to audit and tax services. We were provided two providers. It is recommended that we identify a provider, adopt and approve a contract related to audit and tax services.
Yeah. So annual, one of the responsibilities of the board, right, is to contract annually with a CPA firm. One of the conditions of our MOU is to contract now for an audit that needs to be completed by middle of December. So this is usually the first audit, the first annual audit is completed as part of the first school year, and you just kind of absorb the pre-start of the school year, this 2017-18, right, for us, into that first year audit. Based on our MOU, we have to have a specific audit to 2017-18. So that's why we're, if you're wondering why we're doing this so early, it's because of the condition of the MOU. So now we need to select one. So out of the two, I'm familiar slightly with the first proposal, which actually the company was just acquired. So it's the, give me the name of it.
Clifton Larson Allen.
Yes, because the Avison, yeah, so for Clifton Larson Allen, that larger organization absorbed the company that Avison recently worked with, a former employer, and Avison was generally pleased with them. So I made sure to get a quote from them. And then I went to the directory, the state directory for CPAs, right, that work in charter schools, and got that second quote. So I can, slightly endorse one from experience, and the other one I just know is also approved in local, which is often a benefit. And with that, I'm handing it over to the board, right?
Any questions or comments?
Use the first.
Right.
I think just for Clifton, Larson, and Allen, just the charter school organizations that they represent are very successful, like KIPP, Rocket Ship, stuff like that. I think they have more of a proven track record.
Right.
So.
Do we know if they're
going to
do this fee discount every year? Like, I'm just trying to get a sense of what would that cost be in subsequent years.
So in my experience, that's around the annual cost that you'll see. It's not that far off. That's the cost of the audit. Is what you see in both quotes within that. So from around 10,000, some a little higher. Some I think when you can get them as low as around 8,000. But that's about the right cost that we would get annually.
But this is an estimate, right?
Yeah, and one of the reasons why it's an estimate is because in most cases, an audit of the pre-startup is absorbed into the first year. So this is separate, right? It's going to be a separate audit.
For right, just I'm just trying to get a sense of a lot of times for your first year you get a discount for something. I'm just trying to get a sense of the next year if that's going to be part of it.
Yeah, no, this is the cost of kind of, it seems to be right in the wheelhouse of what the annual cost is for audits.
And then do you have any sense of kind of more concrete, is it there's a lot of ambiguity around, will regularly communicate frequently, like what kind of access do we have or not have with, those entities that will be helping us, whether it's, from the principal
and I know one of the reasons Davison changed was because of that. And my understanding is where they were pleased with the first proposal was because of the greater access. So just in comparison to a prior provider, right, the CPA firm, that can only speak to that. That was one of the reasons that first proposal was. Well, that's why we went with them as a recommendation as well, because of their reputation was that they were just more accessible. But again, that's in comparison to one other firm, right? So it's not that informed.
Any other questions? Someone like to make a motion?
All right. The second,
go ahead.
With the second proposal, do we know anything about them? I mean, I know you've had experience with the first.
Yeah, just in my conversation with them, again, experience with charter schools, they're local, they're obviously a CPA firm that is included in the directory, which means they're able to work with charters, but that's the extent of that I know. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to any of the schools that worked with them, whereas, yeah, you know, with the first one, not only is the list of schools there that Andrew spoke to, but some of my personal experience with them at Avison, that went well. So.
I think some of the purpose of that one is just, you know, we know exactly who we work with, so we want to know those people.
Yeah.
And then they also, I mean, they have the same rating as the first company, yeah. Said, like, that has three, which is the highest.
And you know we're always, it's always our discretion to change firms, you know, and so on. So I mean, Avison had to do it I think three times, right? They've changed firms. So it
is there like a primary contract for the first firm that?
Yeah, I have it somewhere in here.
I mean, that's yes. Somebody that we can.
Right. Yeah, I have that contact.
That's their headquarters, Glendora. That's where they're located.
That's the local office for
Clifton.
For Clifton, yeah. Go ahead.
Go with
the Clifton, Larson, Adam. All right. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Who's that, Melanie? Roll call vote, Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Passes 4-1. Next up, the 2019-2020 school calendar for Allegiant STEAM Academy Thrive. It is recommended the Board of Directors adopt and approve the 2019-2020 school calendar for Allegiant STEAM Academy Thrive. Questions or comments? I just have back when we first were all together as petitioners, one thing that we did was we wanted the school calendar to just mirror CVUSD, and I know the first year was impossible because of all the stuff we need to do. So I don't know if it's something that we can, I know their calendar isn't out yet for this particular year, if we can just do that. Yeah.
So we can table this and just wait for Chino Valley's to release their calendar and do our best to align to it. Right? We can absolutely do that. We wanted to propose it just so we were in compliance with the MOU and the timeline, so that's what we put it on today's agenda. But if you want to table it, we can. I can submit it to Chino Valley as a draft that's not yet approved, but we'll let them know that we're waiting for their calendar to align to it.
Yeah, maybe if we can just explain to them we want to just
align.
That's our goal, is to just mirror them.
Yeah.
I guess I'll make a motion to table this calendar. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second, Sam. Roll call vote. Samantha Odo. Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti. Aye. So passes 5-0 to table. Next up, the standards-based report cards for TK through 8. We've all had a chance to review. So recommended the Board of Directors adopt and approve the standard-based report cards.
So one thing that I will say about these is that based on kind of a closer read of the charter, there are some adjustments that we want to make to it to align to the charter. Right now it doesn't have an area for citizenship grades, for example. And then we also have not gotten we would like a greater input from teachers to see kind of what their feedback is on it. So those are just two things to consider.
And when the ones said grade level middle school, what was that?
Oh, that's, the difference on that one is to have a track or a space for integrated math. If we have students who are beyond middle school math, the only thing different on that report card is integrated one mathematics.
Can you give some explanation? What's the correlation between the mastery level and the grade?
Yeah. So that's the grade would be per subject, and then below that we would see mastery level towards key areas within that subject. So we'd want to know more than just a student got a B in this class. Well, what does that mean? It means that on these, you know, three key concepts, they are approaching mastery, and this one they have it. So that just gives more, that's the standards-based piece of it, where you get more information about where the student is within that grade level, and the exact, like, what kind of calculation is put into what equals an A, B, C, D grade. We still have to discuss that as a team.
Well, I'm just curious because, you know, like, if you, for instance, you get a mastery of 3 and you meet the end of your expectation, mm-hmm. but B is, like, you meet the standard. Right, so like, can you get a mastery of 3 but still get a B?
You might get a mastery of 3 in one area.
But like, let's hypothetically get a mastery of 3 in all of them, just so it's easy. Then can you still, I mean, can you get a B?
That would probably be an A.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it's just language and maybe in different iterations, but mm-hmm. feedback mm-hmm. but it's like, you meet the standard, you know, for mastery is a top score is 3, right? But for grade, that's not top score. So
I see. You're saying exceed.
Looks at it and okay. Thinks that way. That's happened.
Yeah.
Before.
No, I see
but
what you're saying. Yeah.
It the wording seems.
I feel like parents would be a little confused when it's this way.
Okay.
I prefer letter. I mean.
Well, in our charter petition, it has to be a letter graded.
Good feedback to hear, and also a standards-based report card would typically come with kind of a user guide for it to explain it, and these are important considerations as we both alter the format of the report card as well as the kind of user guide that goes along with it.
And then the other thing, because we are, you know, a charter school, we're trying to form things and be different, and, you know, I just want us to think about challenging this narrative that A exceeds the standard
mm-hmm.
and that rather than A is the standard, right? So if we can think about learning in that way, because to me, like, you know, when I teach classes, like, I want everyone to get an A, right? But
right.
that doesn't necessarily mean that that's just,
well,
you know, baseline. We're saying, okay, A is exceeding it, and I don't know if there's a way that we can be creative and make sure that there's language that we want. That's what we want everyone to strive for. If we're saying that that is the apex of the score, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about that. I mean, I know everyone thinks an A is you're strong, you know, but I think we can challenge that narrative in different ways.
The exceed standard is, and then the narrative on page 2, say, of that first report card, where it says A equals B, that's directly from the charter.
But I understand why it's there,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just saying because we are doing something novel, you know, and just thinking about, even if it's in the classrooms, like we don't want people to just think, okay, I'm cool, you know, that sort of thing. But if we want them to read for this. This is the standard. This is going to be your norm, right? Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. I think if you start that early, then that will help them as they continue to go on some other levels. So. And then my other question was just about, because it all seems pretty exactly the same as far as like for PE and world languages, and so like eighth graders are still working on developing motor skills. You know, like, so I'm just wondering if there's any differentiation that we do want to have. I understand it might just be a placeholder from kinder all the way up to eight, but it's like developing motor skills. I understand that for kinder, but can we say more in eighth grade? You know, I don't know if it's the exact same thing that we're doing for these different things that are, they just seem like they're placeholders. Even for world languages, like I'm sure there's different levels of mastery you want kinder graders to have versus a sixth grader, but they all are just the same.
And those could be maybe more descriptive with as the teachers develop the content. Those descriptors, I know, for world language, they're from the world language standards, and they go through stages, and they use those same descriptors throughout the grade levels.
So maybe that's just something you're going to have later, but when I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, great, they develop motor skills still. You know, like, is there a differentiation? So just thinking about those.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments? Nope. So maybe we can revisit this our August board meeting, because the teachers will be back.
Right, Some are already starting to look at it and give input, but again, you know, just wanted to meet their timelines and present them to you.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, we are trying to create report cards in that vein of, you know, we have an opportunity to do things different as a charter and use best practices and not just do things because they've been done this way. And you know, one of the challenges of letter grades, right, is assuming a percentage meets, you know, equals mastery. It's just not always that clean. Mastery and traditional grades have a hard time lining up. But I know we're speaking the same language, but we want to promote excellence, right? We want to get everyone an opportunity to exceed the standards and then have us all understand as a community know what that means, right? And not confuse our parents to, especially when you've got two fourth grade teachers, right? And one is given an A and the other one is giving a B. And when you look at the kids' skill set, their masteries are the same. That's a problem, right? So we want to do our best to calibrate and have a report system that everybody can understand what a B means, what an A means, and so on. So we'll work towards that end, and this was that first kind of effort to do that. But just know, anytime you're marrying this idea of mastery with traditional grades, it's oil and water, vinegar, which one? Those blend, oil and water. So.
Do you have anything that speaks to kind of like the labs or STEAM, you know, anything like that? Because that's just not necessarily delineated on there either. And I know it's not necessarily, you know, embedded with other things, but I don't know, because it's STEAM Academy, you might want to have something like, oh, you know, they're doing X, Y, and Z. And maybe that's just a progress report thing, but there should be some way maybe to kind of track that as students are going.
Yeah, that's a discussion to have, right? Is it on the report card and so on? Obviously, a lot of the content is. Fox is creating, our STEAM Lab teacher is creating, has been creating units tied to the standards, right, which are reflected here, but we haven't developed a separate report card for that just yet. So we have, those are the discussions I need to have to see where that shows up.
Will there be a section as well for the teachers to put comments?
A comment section? Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to table the standard-based report cards. Have a second? Is that Melanie? Roll call vote, Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
Andrew Vesti. Aye. Next up, contract for services related to history and science curriculum. It is recommended the board of directors adopt and approve the history and science curriculum with Discovery Education.
So we did our best to kind of look around for open source resources, and there are some good ones out there, but they do depend a lot on teachers having to kind of put together curriculum, and going into our first year in a STEAM academy that's trying to align music, drama, STEAM lab, world languages, and general education, that was going to be too ambitious. So we kind of went back to the drawing board and decided, well, let's adopt a comprehensive curriculum. And after kind of vetting some of them, Discovery Education seemed the best aligned to our charter, that gives a scope and sequence of curriculum, right, tied to our standards, and at the same time gives us the flexibility to align from general education classes to STEAM. Discover Education has a strong tech component, and that's in our charter as well, so this is where we kind of landed. We're already kind of playing with the free sort of trial period, and teachers are super excited about it. Whether in middle grades we're looking at the history for Discover Education, and then K-8 in science. We're already getting great feedback from our teachers and from our STEAM lab teacher, and how well that's complementing the units in STEAM. Very good. Any other thoughts? Yeah, discuss that. So the rate we'll pay more for as we increase our student or our enrollment, but it'll be at the rate that we're locked into now.
And then it's like there's upgrade for everything be upgraded for all those licenses,
The only exception to that is a different curriculum, right? If Discovery Ed comes out with a whatever curriculum, we don't necessarily get that. But that's one of the nice things about Discovery Ed is that they can continually upgrade and keep things current because they're digital resources. So in regards to this, the tech books, any updates or upgrades or updates are just, we've already paid for them essentially as by adopting. The exception again is Discovery does have other curriculum. So if we go in a different direction, that's like switching publishers, right?
So lower grades than sixth grade, are they not using Discovery for social studies?
Not for social studies. We looked at a different curriculum that is, these happen to, what we adopted in history and science, we're looking to adopt in history and science, are on the state adopted list. We're not required to do that as a charter. Actually, no public schools are required to use that list. But the nice thing about that list is that there is an evidence base to it. And what we're looking at for K-5 in history social science is, Studies Weekly, which in the primary grades has both a digital and a print edition, and then third grade on up, we're going with the digital edition to it. So we're not using Discovery Education in the primary grades. We felt that was a better complement for primary grades because of the hard copy option. Yeah.
For social
studies in K-5. And it also is at a... the cost of it is significantly lower, that it doesn't meet the threshold for a contract for board approval. It's considerably less.
Any other questions, comments?
Did you have any experience with Discovery at Avison?
No, we didn't use it at Avison, but a couple of our teachers here at Allegiance have used it. And yeah, they were pretty thrilled to know that that's what we're endorsing there.
So do I have a motion to adopt and approve the history and science curriculum with Discovery Education? Motion Vanessa, a second?
Awesome.
Second Sam. Roll call vote, Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Passes 5-0. And I apologize, our board packet was kind of out of order, but next up is the contract with Apple Store for Education Institution for purchase of technology for staff and students. It is recommended the Board of Directors adopt and approve the contract with Apple Store for Education Institution.
So this is one of those I commented earlier. We wrote this into our startup grant. So technically you've kind of already approved it, but because of the cost, we want to make sure we're being real clear that you're approving this expenditure. This is a technology that includes classroom technology for teachers and students, so and a STEAM lab, right? So it's outfitting the teachers with a laptop, with Apple TV, so that they can use their televisions that we're going to install in their classrooms, and then tablets for special education and then STEAM lab in all classrooms as well. Anything to add to that?
No. 90
items
is enough to cover
work. Yeah, we have another tech proposal we're going to talk to you about in a second. So.
No, it's all wrapped in a
one. It's all together. Okay, so that's the Apple I just spoke to.
Uh-huh.
For student use outside of the iPads, we're also looking at Chromebooks. So, and the Chromebooks that we're looking at are the Asus ones that are designed specifically for classroom. They have a rubber outside case. They're designed to be spilled on and so on. And, the screen, we yeah, it's they're built for kids, for wear and tear. And those are coming in at around $230 a piece, also written into our startup grant, right? So I was just working, I got contacted by Ross, who's been doing a lot of our website and G Suite management, our IT work, and he's able to get it that, is Ross here? He's
not here. No.
He was going to try to make it. Get that same device for $180 each. So we have in our startup grant, with the Apple expenditure and then what we're proposing for the Chromebooks, which is around $65,000 on Chromebooks, instead of getting 270 devices, we can get 330 devices through Newegg. So what I'd like is for us to approve the expenditure on Chromebooks, and instead of buying 270, you get 330. And what that looks like is a one-to-one in seventh and eighth grades, so students will have one-to-one in those grades. We have this at the back of the napkin. We did it today. Mm-hmm. We wrote it. We wrote out the breakdown. Primary grades, K through second, would have 10 Chromebooks per class, 15 per class in third through sixth grade, and then there will be devices in STEAM Lab and World Language, in music. Did we miss anyone? In special education.
Yes, and a cart.
And an additional cart that can move around. I think there's 15, 20 devices on a cart.
20 on the cart, so that like if a K or 1-2 that only have 10. Chromebooks wanted one-to-one for a project or something, they could kind of reserve the cart and get the...
Yeah. And in our budget, there's $160,000 in the startup grant for technology. Right now, with these two expenditures, we're about $125,000, $130,000 within that line item. Yeah.
So, if we purchase
this,
do we have to go to the Apple Store for education institution, or
I think that's the only hiccup we're going to have is because Ross isn't going to get it from this place.
So there's two separate, yeah, Ross would get the Chromebooks from Newegg, and Apple we would get through Apple. So they're two separate.
So I think.
Well, the reason I was asking is like,
yeah.
I was just doing the price search and stuff.
Yeah.
And I noticed like with Apple TV 4K, like for instance, Best Buy was $20 cheaper there.
Yeah.
Each one. So I didn't know if there was a discount there at the Apple Store.
Yeah. So similar to going through Newegg instead, if you were to approve, you know, $65,000 for Apple products, then we could go to Best Buy, right, and see if we can get a better price for that. I don't know. Thoughts on? Yeah, yeah.
And then all these would have to be, we have to pay to get all these configured through the Wi-Fi, through our IT.
Buying
them separately, not through them.
Right, so our Optiva, who we contracted with for IT, they're prepared to do all that. That's why they want the devices so they can get start doing that, right, as soon as...
Right, but because we're not purchasing them through them, then we're going to pay for that, right, for that contract that you guys afford. Like, when they're not buying, or we don't buy it through them, they charge us, right? So is that... Can we weigh that in? Or can we get a price from them? Are they able to secure... I mean, I just want to make sure that probably not only said we're...
Yeah.
I'm all for it. The more we can get, the better. And that helps us get, you know, five more than
that. Right. Yeah, yeah, and we did a little bit of that, right, to do that. Not so much with the Apple products. We just know if they're 10% educator discount and went from there. But I can do that. That can be the next step, is to look at, like in the conversation with Ross, where he found us a better deal. One that's not out there. I didn't find that. I looked and I didn't find it. So he had to bring that, you know, just having the inside scoop. Yeah, so what do you recommend then would be the next step? Would you like me to go back to Optiva and see if...
Because obviously, if we get it from the Apple Store, it doesn't include whatever they're going to charge us to set these up. So that's
right.
An additional cost that we have to
right.
consider as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes companies have contracts and they get better deals.
Yeah.
So they might have
it. Yeah, and Optiva did have deals with Chromebooks, but not the Asus ones. So, and I thought the Asus ones they're more durable. They're just a better option. But I can circle back to them and see what we can do with regarding both sets.
Do we know why the shipping cost was the price it was for the Chromebooks?
The shipping cost?
Yeah, like 36.
Well, with Newegg they're local, so we actually would work out. Yes, we're going
to
work out. Ross had was working out a different deal for that.
Yeah. What's the timeline that they need this stuff? That's our biggest concern.
That is. It's the timeline. Is
but worst case, yeah. We can, call a special meeting to get
right, to
this
get another...
handled if we can find out from Ross. And
can we approve the budget, like the number, the total dollar value? And then, I guess, price question or whatever, is that, or does that not make sense?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, obviously we want to
approve
the actions
manager. Melanie and Raquel are asking for a cost from Optiva, how much it's going to, because if we can buy the Apple stuff through Optiva, because they have a contract, then we don't have to worry about that. So if we just table this and just know that we may have to have a special meeting, because this is very time sensitive, not only for the opening of the school, but the startup grant. Like, we have to spend a certain amount of money before day one of school. So,
okay.
So then I'll... someone want to make a motion to table it then?
I'll make a motion to
okay.
table it.
Okay. I'll get on that.
Sam makes that motion. A second?
Second.
Raquel? All right. roll call vote. Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti? Aye. All right. Community relations policy. It's recommended the Board of Directors adopt and approve the community relations policy. Questions or comments? Nope.
I just had a question. So what are our official social media?
So founders started a Facebook page and Instagram, right? That's what I'm aware of. So we can adopt those now as staff and continue those, or we can go kind of in our own separate direction. So this just kind of lays out the framework of what we'll do with social media and what we're responsible for or not. We'll be talking to staff about their responsibilities on social media as well, right? That'll be a part of how we roll this out. So we need to make a decision. At this point, there are majority of our families, a good number of our families are on the Allegiance Facebook page, right? Not all of them, but a good number of them. So push that we continue just kind of formally adopt that and have staff take over in compliance with the policy. This doesn't prohibit us from having any others, right? We would just, if we would decide to have a Twitter account, right, then we would fall in line with this particular policy. So right now there are two, right, that I'm aware of, right? Instagram and Facebook gets most of the traffic. Those are not technically allegiances. They're not staff. Run by staff, right? They're run by founders, but we would just kind of migrate those over to our responsibility and make sure they're compliant with the policy.
Any other questions, comments? So to have a motion to adopt and approve the community relations policy.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Vanessa, a second.
I'll second.
Second, Sam. Roll call vote. Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl. Melanie Choi?
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti? Aye. Facilities policy. It is recommended the Board of Directors adopt and approve the facilities policy. Man, I messed up on our little letters here. Sorry. Any questions or comments?
So, do we have an understanding of what outside organizations? So, like, for instance, we have these Girl Scouts here. So, say members of the troop go to this school and they want to have a meeting here. Is that an outside organization because it's Girl Scouts of Greater Los Angeles? So, then we have no say if we want to allow our students or, you know, families to use the facilities. We have to go through CDUSD.
Right.
That's
what the facilities MOU. So this is consistent with the facilities MOU, right, with the Prop 39 offer. So that any use of the facility would be need to go through CBSD approved by them. And this is where we'd ask, well, we at least be notified of it, right, and so on, which they'll work with us. But chances are, like a Girl Scout troop, they're probably going to approach us, and it'd be my job to say, actually, you need to talk to Chino Valley, and then let me know, right, from there. So this is consistent with that practice.
Okay.
So that's like the thing. So if we had some outside, someone who's teaching the students, judo, whatever the case may be, or some science program that came after school, then that would even have to go through CBUSD.
That's the way I've interpreted it. I'm just going to, any group that is not us, right, is going to go through CBUSD. So this is already in alignment with that. We sent over the after school care program. We sent that information to CBUSD. We need to have that program in place, but that actually falls into this category too, right? This is a, that's an outside group using our space. So
if we have, so it's, if we have an after school club, can't the person that wants to do it just go through us? And then we'll reach out to see. I mean, we have a better relationship, and
sure,
we know who we need to ask.
Yeah. So, if we want, to, so like PAC, right? Our that's going to start our foundation. If, we would still go through CBUSD, right? But we would put that request in, right?
Yeah.
Right? For like, and for them as well. Absolutely.
Even like after school clubs and stuff, we have to go through CBUSD, or is that?
Yeah, because based on the MOU, we only have the school site until
four
p.m. But that's most all public schools because of the Civic Center Act.
Yeah.
Like it, these are all public facilities. They belong to the community. So all schools at a certain time basically get released to the community, but you just have to go through the district to get, you know, so.
So we just might want to add some wording to that effect of what Andrew was saying. Like, you know, there's a chain, this is the chain that you would follow. If there's a, you know, organization that wanted to have something, they would need to talk to the CEO or the designee or something like that.
I wouldn't make any change to this. This goes exactly with what the MOU is with CBUSD, and we're going to have run into more of an issue if we, I don't even know why we need a facilities policy because we have an Prop 39 MOU and all that stuff.
Right, but that's what I was about to say. I don't know if it's in here, but I'm just saying we need to have something in place so people do know what that is and that, you know, because if they ask.
Gotcha, yeah.
There's something.
Well, I think
talk something to your plate,
yeah,
this is something we want to think about, so we have it in prepared prior to it happening, and then we're making it as we go. Because I imagine there would be organizations of people who want to do something here because it's school and that's
absolutely,
kind of the school,
yeah.
So.
But I think they would have to go through us anyways because these are our students, so it, they're going to have to approach our staff to say, "Hey, we want to do the chess club." Like a parent wants to do that. They're, those are our students, they're our responsibility, so they're going to have to come to us anyways. So it'd be almost like the school forming that club. I think the only way that it would be like a total outside entity is if someone just went out and approached CBUSD and said, "Hey, we want to use that charter school's field or something." But if we could do, I guess, like an instruction seat on how to borrow the whatever, it would be the best.
Just the protocol. No, not at all. And I'm thinking of staff, right? Because it's going to be Kathleen in the front office is going to get the call and say, "Hey, we would love to have this Joe Schmo club wants to use the campus Thursday afternoon." And if she's not familiar with the policy, she's going to say, "Well, let me set you up with a conversation with me." Now they're going to be with me, and I'm going to say, "You need to talk to this." So, you know, everyone needs to be on the same page. And so streamlining like a protocol tied to this for staff especially, I think it's key because we're going to be the ones contacted with these requests.
Or to make it easier, if you guys could just add it like in the school safety plan, because that's all part of it.
Yeah.
And then that's handled through there.
Sorry, did you say it goes both ways as far as CBUSD notifying us if they're using?
That's a courtesy. They don't really need to.
Well, think about like a Saturday use of the campus. They don't technically need to notify us of that, right? But that's what we had requested, that we could be notified of it.
So if we were to do like back to school night,
we have to get permission from the district.
Yeah.
And that aligns with all, like most MOUs with authorizers, is you have to get special permission, even our board meetings, anything. Like, hey, can we borrow it? Okay. They're pretty quick. Like you,
they are pretty quick. We've done it for these meetings, you know, for access to the campus beforehand.
Informal writing or something.
There's a portal in which we do it. So I have an account. Troy Stevens had an account. Diana will have. I don't think you have it yet, or maybe I think she's going to use mine, but we'll have it where we can do that. We're going to do that for all our board meetings. Anything outside of the regular school hours, we're going to flood that facility. It's a facilities request portal. And you just put the time, the duration, what you, if we need anything. For example, you know, we've needed these chairs are provided through that request, and so on.
So then, hold on. So if
it,
say a third party comes, like for instance, what is that? They used to do science lab after school. That was not part of, you know, that was so they would come to you, and then you request in via the portal. Is that how that works?
Well, that's just for use of the space. But if that's a third party, right? That's another group. They would actually need approval to just run their program.
Okay.
So the portal is for it's just use of the space by already they're already the groups are already in there. So Allegiance is in the portal. It's and I select it as hey, Allegiance wants to use the staff from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday night for a board meeting, right? So this chess club or whatever scenario, they'd have to get approved first before they can actually request. That's again, they're going to come to us, right? They see us on campus, and everyone just needs to be aware of the policy and then we can make sure we
follow
lines.
Unless it's a teacher who wants to do the chess club, and then it only has to get approved through the CBOs, because they're not outside.
They're not outside, right? But I think we're going to notify CBOC of any facilities
that are
outside.
Yeah, they would have to notify them for this,
yeah.
But they wouldn't have to go through that other...
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, because they're not third party.
It's not a third party. Yeah. Yeah.
So do I have a motion to adopt and approve the facilities policy?
I make a motion.
Who is that? Mikhail?
Oh.
All right. Second.
Awesome.
Second, Sam. Roll call vote. Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto. And Andrew Vesti, aye. So before we adjourn, is there any day next week that it's going to have to be like Thursday or Friday if we need a special board meeting references technology? You can't do Thursday? Okay. Anytime. You guys do morning on Friday? Yes? Yes?
Yes.
Awesome. Alrighty. So, tentatively.
Is that in lieu of or in addition to the following
week? Probably in, well, let's hope in lieu of. So we'll play it by ear. Is that August 3rd, next Friday? Cool.
Is there time?
What time is we early? Earlier the better. All right. Like 8-ish. 30.
8:00.
Okay, 8:00. Sounds good.
Friday the 3rd?
8:30.
8:30. 8:30.
Sam has to drive from Vegas.
No, he's saying I live like on the
street. All right. So, one other thing. Sorry, I should have mentioned this in the board comments. The attorneys are creating our PTA. It's going to be called the PAC. It's Parents and Community for Kids. Yes. So they're in the beginning stages of that, the PAC will be the fundraising mechanism for our organization, so, and do other fun stuff. But with that said, the adjournment, it is recommended the Board of Directors adjourn the regular board meeting for July 26, 2018.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Vanessa, a second.
I'll second.
Second, Melanie.
Roll call vote, Samantha Otto.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesey, aye. Meeting is adjourned at 8:25 p.m.